Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I am Craig Israel, creative director at ThunderTech, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Krylow.
Hi, here as usual.
And today, Eric, we are going to be talking about social media, the state of social media today, and to help guide us through that conversation, we have a very special guest, Madison Bender. If you introduce yourself and what you do here at ThunderTech, Madison.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me. I am the social media team manager here at ThunderTech, and I'm part of the communications department.
Very exciting. So the state of social marketing, social media marketing today. Mm-hmm. Where do we even start, Madison?
Where do we even start? It's a great question. You go from the powerhouses of Facebook and Twitter and everything they're doing to evolve or keep up in Twitter's case, and then we go all the way down to the new guys, live streaming, Facebook's live, different tools within these big platforms, anything else that's evolving with ads and Instagram and things like that. So it's all changing a lot these last 2 years.
Yeah, it's certainly turning into something now. I feel like brands and companies are doing it more strategically. So I think the big evolution, I think that would be where it starts, is mm-hmm. Brands are actually looking at social media now as not only a valuable tool, but a strategic way to mm-hmm. reach their audience. And I think that it's not just a matter of, we think we have to have a Facebook page or we have to have right. a Twitter page. They're thinking a lot more about that now.
I think what really tells the tale is that companies are starting to spend real money on mm-hmm. social media. I'm looking at an infographic in front of me that says that in 2014, companies spent $7.52 billion on social media marketing.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. Facebook marketing, Facebook ads started to come out. Facebook was giving away $50 vouchers. And then you'd spend that, and if you got a certain amount of engagement, they'd give you a $100 voucher. And it was amazing because I worked at a nonprofit, and that was the only way we were getting any ad money. And now I no longer have to coerce like $50 out of a client because they'll just hand me a budget and say, this is what we were spending on this, but we want to devote it to social media advertising. And it's a complete just reversal of where we were, where they're like, no ad money for Facebook. And now it's, give me all your ad money and spend it on Facebook. So it's kind of a different field altogether now.
So the question is it working, right? We're talking billions of dollars mm-hmm. being spent, but in the same infographic, it indicates that despite the money being spent, the engagement with the customer base is mm-hmm. actually on a slight decline.
Yeah, I think we're looking at two different things, too. We have to think of organic engagement on these channels and then the paid engagement on these channels. And Facebook and Twitter, they do a really great job of providing those analytics on the back end for a marketer so they can see the difference between here's what your organic content is doing and here's what your paid is doing. So there is a lot of tracking tools that we can use. But at the end of the day, I've heard clients tell me, I can't track a billboard, but I can see how many people clicked on the Facebook, and at least I can prove that even if it's 10 people, 10 people clicked on that. So I'm seeing a shift in thinking completely around that. So it's becoming easier to justify, even if the engagement is lower, it's still proven engagement.
So you bring up something interesting, Madison, when you mentioned paid versus organic. And, mm-hmm. Part of our vast audience, I'm sure, is unfamiliar with both of those terms. So could you elaborate just a little bit on that?
Yeah. Let's take Facebook again for an example. Every time a brand posts, so it's we're talking about ThunderTech, and we just submit a post to Facebook, we push the button, and it's out there, and it has absolutely no boosted advertising money behind it. That's organic, and it's just happening, and people naturally find it based on how the algorithm presents it to people in the newsfeed.
So that's right, something that just shows up in my newsfeed
exactly.
because I have at some point indicated I like that brand,
yeah.
or I've responded to something
yeah.
the brand has sent out.
Or maybe a friend has shared it, and because you're a friend, you get to see what they're engaging with too. So that's organic. Paid, obviously, it's an ad that you've told Facebook you want to target, you've given them money, and then they carry it out to the world based on everything you selected.
And so this is Facebook looking at everything I've indicated in my preferences,
yeah.
and they can say, okay, we know you're a married mm-hmm. man with kids that likes these restaurants, so we're going to send you this ad.
Absolutely. And then they also share data from other research. So it's like Pew, and they have a couple other firms that they use that supplies data on household demographics and whatnot. So they can say people who rent a house in this income bracket and this demographic, down to the zip code sometimes, for Facebook especially. So it gets on a little bit of a creepy level if you're thinking about it, like how people are targeting me, but it makes the content so much better that we're giving to people because it's relevant then.
So I keep getting these ads for incontinence. Why would that be?
I don't know. Nope. Not going there.
I could help you, Craig, but I'm not quite sure what that word means.
All right. So I'm looking at some other stats here, and I'm interested that what some of these stats are saying is that even when consumers or businesses are engaging with their consumers, they're not doing an especially good job, right? So run through a couple of these stats. It says 90% of entrepreneurs, or excuse me, 90% of enterprises use social media to respond to customer service inquiries. Okay, that mm-hmm. makes sense. I'm not happy about something. I send a Facebook message or a tweet to the company. But it says that 58% of consumers who have tweeted about a bad experience never receive any sort of response from the company.
Yeah, and it's a shocking stat, but it's so easy when someone's not face-to-face with you to just not answer them because it's something you don't want to answer or it's awkward or you don't have the answer. But if that person were in your store face-to-face, you'd want to answer them, hopefully. Blank stare would be a little awkward.
To that end, another stat here is that when companies do respond, the average response times are about 9 hours.
Yeah, so I can believe that too. It's, from my side, I can completely understand how hard that is to answer someone within the hour, because think about how busy you are. You go to a meeting and you come back and there's 4 Facebook messages, and then you have to possibly hunt down that answer. So it can be really hard for small businesses or one-man shop to get those answers out pretty quickly. But the key is making the effort to at least answer everyone, good, bad, or ugly. Really what you need to do is have a plan in place to answer everybody and set goals up for yourself to kind of say, I'm going to answer everybody within 4 hours during, business hours, or, and then move it back. So 2 hours and then an hour, and then you'll get better.
Yeah, let me ask about that. Are businesses setting themselves up for failure when they have the expectation that they'll be responsive, but I tweet out to a business mm-hmm. at 8 o'clock at night?
Right.
Is it really realistic that they're going to get back to me soon or outside of business hours?
I think we do. We set ourselves up for a bit of failure because we want to be everything to customers, but we have to have, as humans, our downtime. So, 8 o'clock at night, my show's on. If it's a Tuesday, I'm watching NCIS. It's just what it is. That's why we have teams to help and try to tag team that. Are you making fun of me?
Can I say that you are too young to be watching NCIS?
No,
that my
it's
mother
my thing.
Watches that show.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a crime drama?
It's the Navy thing,
yeah,
right?
It is.
Is that Gary Sinise or is that
no.
that Silver Fox? What's
Silver
his name?
Fox.
Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing says crime drama like that Silver Fox. Mark Harmon.
A little bit of a side. Mark Harmon, it was ruined for me. He played Ted Bundy in a movie, and then that was it. I couldn't look at him the same way.
I will not watch that then.
So was it the acting or just the portrayal of?
Well, he made a really good Bundy, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of freaked me out. So I can't think of Mark Harmon the same way ever again.
Interesting.
It's typecast.
So, yeah, pro tip, don't play serial killers on TV if you're an actor.
Rob Lowe. Didn't he play Scott Peterson or Peterman or something like that?
Something like that. One of those guys. Yeah. Anyway.
So, getting back to
customer
social.
Service.
Yes, customer service, social media. So, what you're saying is that the key thing here is to be responsive. It doesn't matter if people are praising you or blowing you up.
Yeah.
You need to respond.
And even within that, set some rules for yourself. I heard one of the best examples that I'm now repeating like a broken record to everyone from Jay Baer in his newest book. He talks about how you respond twice and then you move on. So, good, bad, or ugly, you respond twice to people and then, they're just there for a show. So it's, hey, we love you, thanks. no, really, I love you. Thanks again. The third time they say it, you're kind of like, all right, I have other people to focus on. The same things go for negative. If they hate you, you know, try to move them off that channel. But they keep coming back. You have to decide when a troll is a troll. So he kind of sets up some good rules, and I'm looking forward to reading that book. So.
And a troll is always a troll if it's under a bridge. We know that much for sure.
Or on Twitter feed.
Right. So with the ads and with the customer service, you know, seeing both of those evolve, I think content itself has also started to evolve. Can you talk a little bit about the things that you've seen that you've really liked?
Yes.
And then if there's any sort of evolutions from a content standpoint that you are just, get away from me, stop this right now.
Oh, that is great. Every time I see a really well-designed image within a feed, both Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Instagram more on the photo side. I'm not into the Instagram ads that are just basically a big poster that says buy my stuff. I think that's starting to ruin Instagram. That's something I don't like. But when you craft an image that goes with your content strategy and it explains it and it helps bring the point about, I stop in my feed almost every time for Facebook and I'm like, oh, 5 tips for this? Okay, well, that image really sold it and it helps explain it. That works for me. It might not work for everyone. But again, the second part of that question is when you're using it too much or in the wrong channel, like on Instagram, where I want to see beautiful photos that could convey the same message, I don't want to see a sales pitch there.
So speaking of those photos on Instagram, and I don't know if you can answer this question. I know that haven't worked at Instagram
legally,
for a couple years.
If you can answer
right.
this question.
But the feedback that you're able to give on those sponsored photos, so I believe it's not relevant, it's inappropriate, or I see it too often. And I think the other one is it gave me a rash. I think those are the four options. But what happens when someone clicks one of those options? Is that real data Instagram is capturing, or are they faking the funk?
It's definitely going back to Instagram, but is it going back to the advertisers in the same manner? I'm not exactly sure at this point, because it is, not social media, but it is a social experiment to see how those ads are performing on a platform where they didn't exist not long ago, and people were outraged when they rolled out. Like, people were mad.
People were mad when Facebook started to advertise too. Right?
Yeah, you thought they'd be more immune to it by the time we got to Instagram. They wouldn't be so mad about the advertising. But it's definitely going back to Instagram, and I think it's going to change eventually the next rollout. So what happens in ads 2.0 for Instagram, and hopefully that feedback does get to the advertisers so they can say, please don't share stock photos on our beautiful channel. So things like that.
So speaking of content, what do you think is more valuable? Businesses that pump out content on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but it could be random and off-brand, or is it more important to always be on-brand and supporting your company, even if it's more intermittent?
Right. That is a great question. So I love quirky channels that kind of know what their brand is, and their brand happens to be a little weird. So the content might be off a little bit. So you could be a channel all about with a core audience of parents, but you're able to still make fun of parenting. So it's not like that super everything is perfect. I live in this box. Here's how to be a super parent kind of thing. I would like to see less of that and more of the quirky intermittent if it still helps the brand build and brings loyalty to the people because you made them laugh or you've entertained them. I would rather see that for a client or a brand than to see basically just a broadcast system of here's why we're great and here's what you should do and just acting like everything is perfect all the time. So I don't like it to always be so structured.
But that said, I know I've heard you tell clients that they can't let their channels go dead for weeks or months at a time.
Right. Yeah, there is definitely something called reach. You get it all. It's mostly considered with Facebook. It's your organic reach. It's how many people are able to see it, and it's the algorithm. And if you abandon Facebook, Facebook's going to take all of their power to somebody else. So if you're not posting for 8 days straight, it's going to be really hard when you get back on to get the reach to the audience and get those impressions that lead to engagement. So with other channels rolling out their own algorithms, you'll see that same principle transfer over.
So are we at the point where we can tell our clients to start investing more heavily in social media and taking dollars away from more traditional advertising, print, broadcast radio,
skywriting.
Skywriting. I will definitely recommend skywriting. Not necessarily. Man, if JP was here, our media guy, we have this debate all the time because he wants the billboard, but I want the Facebook ads. It's really about how we work together. Those are the best campaigns. Aww. So it's so sweet, isn't it? No, it really does work. If you have a great landing page and you're coming at a campaign from a bunch of different angles, what do you need? Like 100 different touch points at this stage of the game before you convince a person to convert. So if I could see a billboard on the way home and have a radio ad, and then you're on my Pandora, but you're also being retargeted through Facebook and Twitter, there's a chance that we're going to either annoy you into submission or you're going to say, I see the value in these messages and I'm going to check it out. So I think there's a lot of value strategically working together with a lot of different avenues.
For now, right?
For now.
Soon enough, you'll crush until traditional.
Yeah, until I take over the world and JP's job. So.
All right, any final thoughts for us, Madison? Any other topics that you need to educate Eric and I about?
I'm going to jump in here because I'm certainly interested in the new liking system, if you will, Facebook. All
reactions.
These fancy new reaction emojis.
There's like, love, anger,
wow,
sadness, mm-hmm. I think incontinence again.
Okay. Empathy.
Distress. And... yeah, I don't think I got all those right.
There's a few in there. So they're very different, right? And they just appeared overnight and Facebook blew up and it was amazing. We knew it was coming. We didn't know exactly when. Facebook likes those little surprises.
But all that said, still no dislike button, right?
Still
what
no
everybody
dislike.
Has wanted for years,
yeah.
But no dice.
Facebook has a good reasoning behind that, and Mark Zuckerberg said it for a long time. It doesn't really fit the platform and the vision, you know, and he had his daughter and he wanted to change the world and everything was positive and great. He issued another statement about how there will never be a dislike button. So this is their solution. You can still say sad because people want to say sad instead of dislike. So they're just using like different feelings. So the really interesting part, we'll see how consistent the reporting is on the back end with all these different choices because people are just playing with them now.
Is that healthy though to keep in your dislike of things? I thought it was... you always are supposed to get out your emotions.
You should always express your dislike and your rage. That's how I live my life.
Well, I guess that's what the comments are there for.
So how's that work, though? If I'm a business and mm-hmm. I post something and I get the angry, you know, emoji,
that's a great question.
Do I respond? Do I say, hey, I don't know what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing we're going to start seeing is you really have to then dig into the comments and start a conversation. Like, was this an accidental click? Or are they just trying to see what the button does? I think this is a learning period right now. We have to find out. But angry to me is worth a, hey, you doing okay, customer, kind of reaction and see where it goes from there.
I'd definitely be interested in seeing or finding that first brand or that first source that puts content out there to play specifically off of those emojis. That's going to be something that is really going to be interesting to see, especially if you could get some sort of pattern worked out in the comments with the way the emoji shows up. I think that would be really interesting to see. And thankfully, we have our communications and creative departments in the room that maybe we could be the first. ThunderTech, trailblazers.
We could. Set the world on fire.
So anything else? You mentioned a couple times about knowing about things ahead of time when it comes to social.
Yeah.
You know, churn up the rumor mill here. So feel free to make things up if you need to.
But just
what's coming?
Exactly.
What is coming? That's a great question. So first of all, I don't have like a secret hotline into Facebook. They have a blog and they publish these things. I'll give away all my secrets. It's kind of interesting. You just go on there and they tell you all these things that are sometimes not helpful at all, developer stuff. I think what's coming next is still playing off that reactions for Facebook, seeing where that takes us. Twitter's still trying to catch up, so who knows what they will retaliate with. We usually see that back and forth. Facebook launches something and Twitter's investors get angry and then they try something new too. So,
some new hashtag.
Yeah, it could be.
I thought they were going to extend the
what's
character
going on
limit.
That? I thought they were going to say unlimited character count or something crazy like that.
Talk about outrage.
Somebody get Jack
People
Dorsey on the line. Let's figure this out.
They're so mad about that. I actually don't know where that left off. There was controversy. Are they going to do it? Investors got mad again. We're just going to see. Like most things, they promise it and then take it away. I think it's a headline thing sometimes. So
we definitely have to ask you this. If we're going to end on something, it might be this.
Oh, no.
Favorite channel and why?
Oh, my gosh. My favorite channel and why? I've always have been a big Facebook supporter because of the how versatile it is and everything you can do with it. But I can spend a day and a half on Instagram just going through what's there and discovering it. I really like the photography aspect of it, but it's so interesting what people share.
Eric, your favorite social platform?
It's tough. You know, I get all of my news from the tweeter. So I would say that that's up there. But, you know, Instagram's good as well. You know, it's really refreshing sometimes not to have to read someone's opinion or someone's, take on a certain situation. So it's nice just to be able to look at a photo, take it for what you will, and move forward, almost like an art museum.
Oh. Yeah, I agree. That's definitely it. It's a great way to describe it.
What about you, Craig? Where do you fall in this?
Yeah, I'm a Facebook guy. Pretty unoriginal, but I like to keep up with my peeps on Facebook.
How many fan groups you have on there now?
Oh, literally dozens.
Okay.
All right, so Madison, thanks for joining us today. It's been very educational.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate you giving us all the lowdown, looking in your crystal ball for social media, what's telling us what's coming next.
Yeah, no problem.
So if, as always, if you liked today's podcast, you can subscribe to it on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. And also a heads up that if you have purchased or downloaded for free our the ThunderTech Trends Guide that we put out yearly, we are starting work on our mid-year trends right now. We do it twice a year now. Mid-year trends was a big hit last year. So if there's a topic that you're really interested in, maybe something you heard on a podcast or something totally new, please give us a tweet at ThunderTech and maybe we'll include it in our next volume. And once again, if you like this podcast, you can find it at thundertech.com/podcast. It has this and all of the hundreds of podcasts that we've done previously. So thanks for listening, and that's it for this week.